Amen, amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. So we do thank Janet and Mike, and really what they impressed upon me was that their commitment to spend time with God and how important that is. And I encourage you this Lenten season to carve out that. For them, it's mornings. It's early in the mornings, quiet, and they get into a daily devotion, but they make the time. So our message is all about resisting temptation. You can't do that on your own. It's not going to happen. You're going to fall again and again. And so it reminds me of the funny story of this place. I love it. Jen's already laughing even before we get there. I love it. I do pay her money to laugh at the joke. My dollars, so we laugh. But anyways, these four pastors, they want to get away, these four pastors, and so they go up north to a cabin, and it's like a retreat, and that late at night, one of the pastors goes, you know, maybe we should just confess our greatest temptations with one another. And he says, you know, mine is lust. Mine's lust. I read the, when the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition comes, I'm all over that all day long, every day. My eyes I cannot. And then so the next man, he goes, oh, really? Mine's gambling. Mine's gambling. I go down to I wear a disguise, I go down to Foxwoods, and I just get so pumped up, and I lose all my money. It's terrible. And the next guy goes, well, mine is drinking. Every day I drink a little bit, and it's getting to be a terrible addiction. It's controlling my life. The last pastor says, you know what, guys? Mine's gossip. I love to. You already know where it's going. Let me finish this, all right? So he goes, mine's gossip. I love to talk about people. Can you guys hang on? I got to go make a few phone calls.
Thanks, Laura and Jen. Amen, amen, amen. So we laughter's good medicine. Amen. Especially when you're admitting that we're sinful creatures. We will fall. We are. Thank God we're saved by grace and grace alone. We all fall short of the glory of God. There's not going to be a question. You are going to sin. You're going to fail. You're going to give in to temptation. But today we look at Jesus. How did he resist the devil? These 40 days that he went and he fasted. Now, I have not been. I've been preaching for almost 33 years. I'm just not someone who's fasted. This is the first time, and I want you to pray, because I'd love to fast for a reason, not just to do it, right? To give up something for Lent. But when you fast, and when Jesus fasted, he made room for the Spirit. He was led out by the Spirit, sustained by the Spirit, and he was able to stay humble in the midst of the devil saying, if, now when you really read it, you think, okay, 40 days without eating. Oh, bread. Wow, that's so good. But the devil says, if you are the Son of God, right? There's ifs there. It's like the devil saying to you, if you are a Christian and planting the seeds of deception, if you are the Son of God, take this stone and make it into bread. Flex your muscles. Don't be humble. Be arrogant. Be filled with yourself. And yet he stayed true to the calling to sacrifice himself, to lead a humble path to lead us to glory, to save us from sins, but to give us an example today. It is so hard to, the one thing I'm learning, besides making time to be, to let God in, because when you fast, and I really encourage you to do this, you do things that you do because it's not a healthy thing, and you do it a lot. Whatever that might be, you can decide what that is. I know a lot of people binge Netflix, how many shows right now after the other, or TV or electronic. You are just so hooked on things like I am, like any temptation is everywhere. I invite you to fast. Invite you to fast this Lent, whatever that might be. It could be food, it could be sweets, it could be whatever. You decide with God what that means. There's the picture again with the donut. In fact, this reminds me the day I started, and I really do, I had an addiction towards sugar. I couldn't go by the Dollar Tree.
It's just funny because it's idolatry, you know. The Dollar Tree, I would go in and buy just candy bars. And in my car, there's a little console that you open up, and it's my kids call it the cookie jar. What has Dad got? So when I stopped, the day I stopped was the day that Gina bought all these Dunkin' Donut munchkins for the help for the volunteers in the office. And I came in, and I was like, oh, my goodness. It's right there. And then Jill Dupree brings in her beautiful dog, Rocky, who's this black Labrador retriever. And I couldn't take one, right? I can't be instantly, the day I start, break my fast. But Rocky can. I can give Rocky one. So I asked Jill, can I give her? Because his eyes are looking at the donuts, looking at mom, looking, you know, can I have one? I said, I gave one. But the funny thing was his snout was like perfect level. It's table level for all the goodies that tempt him. And we're no different than a dog. Dog wants to be true to his master, right? Is it okay, mommy, right? I want to honor you and glory. It's like, we want to do the same. But if you put that plate down and you tested, who knows what a dog would do. Dog could be obedient, but a dog could just say, I'm going for it. We do the same thing in our own lives, and I want you to think about how important it is to trust that God gives us what we need to resist. And I love the verse from James 4. It says, humble yourself before the Lord. Resist. In fact, it says part of that translation is humble yourself before the Lord. Submit to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's important for us to confess that we cannot save ourselves. We have to be humble as Christ was humble, even in the wilderness. And it reminds me, many years ago when the kids were in diapers, we had two in diapers, and we had a lot of diapers. And there was one time when, because this is the smell test, right? My car stunk so bad I couldn't find what it was. I didn't know it was a diaper. It was in the trunk of the car, way deep down in a soiled diaper that just got worse as time went on. But I learned one time when I was driving into Boston to visit someone in the hospital, when I got in the car, oh my goodness, I'm gagging. Oh, this is terrible. By the time I got to Boston, what smell? I got used to it, right? It's the same with sin in your life, the things that you're in your life. Until you get close to God, you don't even know some things are a sin. Until the Lord holds up a mirror and says, really? Really? I'm going to call you on this. And for you to be right, you've got to confess that sin and then humbly submit yourselves before the Lord so you can resist the devil. Every single day, there's little things that we just have to resist. It's not easy to go to work and get tired in the stress of life and how you can come home or you can be anywhere and you just bring everything home and your attitude's just wrong. The two-second prayer. I wanted you guys to talk because you work the faith. You welcome God in. And you know how wonderful it feels. I hope I showed to the kids that they just don't think like, I just want that donut. I just not hear anything that Pastor John said. I just want to eat that donut. I wanted them to hear that our relationship with God is so much better than any sin. You know, the devil will whisper. I had someone call me up, Pastor John, I want to cheat on my wife. I'm about to. Help me. And we prayed, and he didn't. Amen. And he looked back and he said, wow, if I did not have someone to call, if I didn't have faith to call upon the Lord, I would have gone down that path. How much better it is to resist than just keep sinning and keep asking for forgiveness, right? Because you feel better. Like, my body is slowly feeling better than I'm not eating junk. Spiritually, it's the same. It's hard to love your enemies or to be grace-filled everywhere you go. And we're not going to be that way all the time. But we feel so much better when we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. It's not an easy thing. In fact, Paul writes to the folks in Rome about how important it is to call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. We don't have a soul of faith. Most people go through trouble because they're isolating themselves day after day after day, and they're alone in their sin, in their addictions, in their troubles. You know, it's sad to think that some people don't come to church because they literally believe they're not good enough to come to church. How sad that is. That what we project is, oh, we have it all together. Do you have it all together? I don't. I got to call upon the name of the Lord. And I love the verse that says, the Lord richly blesses all who call him. If you don't call upon God, you don't get what God has to offer. And so today I want you to think about how important it is to just trust that God will bless your desire to be faithful. And you got to be honest with the temptations that come. Because if not, there's going to be a block. And I love this verse from 1 Corinthians. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Part of just coming to church today is saying, Lord, I admit that I can't make it. Make a way in my life, in my situation that I'm in right now. And you are in one. Don't say you're not. That you're struggling with something. I know that you made it to church today through the storm because God wants to bless your efforts to be faithful and to be true. And so we're going to move to our prayer time right now so we can lift up. And you know what's interesting is that the sins that beset us are the ones like, if you're a Christian, you know, lord over people, judge other people. And the Methodist Church is in that kind of place right now that we're struggling with the global United Methodist family. We have to just keep getting back to grace, keep getting back to mercy and love. And you know who does that really well? Dodds Wicker. We're going to move to our prayer time. How many people know Dodds Wicker? He will be 102 in May. May 19th, is that right? 9th. I added 10 days. Mine's May 15th. But we're going to move to our prayer time. I'd like to have her be right on the top of our list. You know, it's interesting. I met with a family, a husband, wife, mother, father, mother, of a little girl who died in Westboro. Her name is Mira, and she died of cancer at the age of 6 and a half. April 20th, we're going to celebrate her life. And it's interesting because the two people that I'm ministering to, JT and Bavia, are really not Christians, but they're opening their heart to the Word of God. And we're planning on the funeral April 20th, the day before Easter. Day before Easter, we're going to celebrate her life. I'm going to show a couple videos, and he showed me them on his iPhone, singing songs from Frozen and dancing and playing and swimming and all this. But it was so powerful to just talk about what we believe as Christians and them leaning into that gospel message of life eternal. And so I just want you to pray for JT and Bavia and their journey that they're on, and that we're going to open our church to them. We're going to celebrate this little girl's life at the same time as we grieve and we hurt, we break because of the fallen world that we live in. But I thought about the long and wonderful life of this beautiful woman, Dodds Wicker, who's lived in town on Belknap since 1938. Is that right? And 1936. And long before most farms were, what's that? 30. It's 38. I got it right. I got that one right. But she is such a shining example of the faith, the joy that comes. That just shines out of her. People just feel better when they spend time with her. But we know that the Lord is calling her home soon. She knows that. We talk openly. We sang a lot of hymns. And she's teaching us about what does it mean to live a life of faith and trust that we know where we're going. We're going to be with God. Other prayers to lift up at this time? Cynthia? Amen. Yeah.
And she was able to come home Thursday.
Oh, praise God. Amen. Amen. You can clap. Amen. Thank you. Her name's Doris. Amen. Yeah. Yep.
Praying my family license for my brother who's had cancer at age 46.
at the age of 40, open heart surgery. His name?
Steve.
Steve, okay. Amen. Other prayers this morning? Yeah, Ruth?
No, this is a prayer, but at the beginning you said we have to keep doing this over and over again to change the time. You're doing that for the farmers.
We're doing it for the farmers.
That's originally why it was done, so it gave them more light at night to be able to do their crops. You don't, you know, you can build and do everything in the dark.
So we're doing it for you, Ruth.
You're doing it for the farmers.
She runs Fulton Farms.
Yeah.
So that's for you. Amen. That helps us connect.
And does anybody care now?
No. We care. We care.
So be a little grateful.
Oh, yeah.
Prayers for my Aunt Jennifer, who has pancreatic cancer.
Just read about Alex Trebek, because pancreatic cancer. He's fighting it. Publicly, he's sharing that. Janet.
In the event that I sounded like I had it all together, I don't. I don't know that my son, who is almost 45, was laid off from his job, and I am so worried. I can't do anything for him as a parent, and that just goes against my parental instincts. And I am worried that I fall into the temptation of taking that totally from God. So I just want you to know there's always light for
peace. Amen. We bear them together. Thank you for sharing that. Any other prayers? I thank God Dan Klein's here with us. Look here and look at Dan Klein. He's one of my heroes. I won't tell everybody why, but he loves God. He loves serving on ASP, and he's dedicated a lot of time. He's a bright light for our young people to see that being faithful is joyful. It's like, there's never a moment when I'm around with any kind that I don't feel better. It's like looking at the good, like challenges and so forth. He's got talk about testimony, but thank you for being with us in worship. And I want to lift up that this can be a great opportunity because now these 40 days, if you can, we have daily devotionals. We have, we have certain resources that can help feed you wherever you might be. There's a lot of temptations for Christians to. We can fall into the trap of just being cynical. The world is terrible. Right? We can feel like it's going to hell in a handbasket, right? And we can be negative in a way. Instead of bringing light, what is positivity a real word? But that we really want to bring the light of the Lord out into this hurting world. It's sort of like knowing it's going to be 62 on Thursday. Doesn't that just make it? We believe things can get better. We don't want to get cynical. And I can get like that. You help me. People like Dan help me. So not stay there. Not stay there. Confess it and say, I don't want to be that way for my spouse or my kids or grandkids. I want them to see God in me. So, Lord, I call upon you. Free me from this bad attitude that I have that has been kind of weighing on me. The winter's going to be tough for a lot of people. But there can be winter metaphorically for people and to stay in that season. Let's push through that together and trust there is a resurrection. Amen? Mm-hmm. Any other prayers to lift up? I'm so happy you came today. God with you in the wilderness of your lives. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Ask you to bless our humble gathering on this snowy morning that we trust that you wanted us here today. We said yes to you. We said yes to believing and that you are a loving God who desires us to be faithful and true, to have no other gods before you, not worship this world. Lord, when we are called home like God's wicker soon, we just want to have that heart of peace. The things you give to those who believe is what our hearts, it's what we desire most. And so, Lord, forgive us for being lost in our addictions. Just bring us back home and help us trust your grace abounds again and again.
And so we know it's the same old story, but we need to hear it again and again and again. That you love us, that you love us, you love us. And you want us to be your instruments of love and peace for this world. And we thank you, God, that we can come together and believe that you can do great things through those who desire to be faithful. So, Lord, be with that one soul today that's struggling with something. They're lost in some. Bring them back home. Help them know that you allow U-turns, that you desire them to come back to you and experience your grace again. So thank you, God, all the prayers we lift to you for the ability to believe that things can change. We don't have to stay where we are. And we thank you for your word through your son, Jesus, out in the wilderness, that he stayed true. And he bore the cross for us. He died our death so that we could be alive forever and ever. And so we thank you, God, that he teaches us where real love is found, real hope and peace is found within our relationship with you and with each other. So bless your people here today and help them know you hear their prayers. You hear their prayers and you love them. As we pray your prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.